Thank you, Bart. I believe I'm okay in saying this, but if you're blessed and you enjoyed Bart's music, I believe he has a CD recorded that you can see him and get a copy of it. I think I figured out why I have no musical ability. I think he got some of mine. I mean, when a person can sing and they can play and they can write music and I can't even clap, there's just something wrong with that. Thank you, Bart. We're in a series called Family Business, and we have looked at the family faith of Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses. Last week we saw the family faith of Noah and how his faith brought about the saving of his whole family and really the human race. And today, being Father's Day, we're going to look at family's father with the idea of answering the question, what makes a hero? So if you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. We're going to be reading just one verse to start with. We'll pull in others as we go along. But in Psalm 16:3, David, mighty man of God, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, penned these words. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may that verse be our testimony. God, may the true heroes in our lives be the godly people. And Father, may we take pleasure in them. God, I ask today that as we think about fathers and family, that God, all of us will seek to be a hero, seek to be someone, God, that you take pleasure in, that all of us would seek to be godly people that would honor our Father in heaven. Speak to us now, God, through your word. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about heroes. And so what I say today can be a man, woman, it can be a person who's a father and not a father. But I want to challenge every dad here today to aspire to be the kind of person that God's Word calls a hero. I think hero is one of those terms that is misused and overused a lot of times in our society. Oh, this person's a hero and that person's a hero, and really they're not. So what is a hero? Why do we need them in our life? How do I become one? Well, I believe God wants you to be a hero, an everyday hero for Him. But we live in a society today that is in great need of heroes, role models. A recent Gallup poll was taken of teenagers 13 to 17 years of age. And they were asked, who are the heroes in your life? And I am sad to inform you that 51% of those 13 to 17 years of age could not name one single adult that they considered a hero. One person said it this way, I don't know any adult that I want to model my life after them. How sad. How sad. And so today I want to challenge you to be that kind of person, to be a hero for God. A couple of observations here. Number one, tell me who your heroes are, and I will tell you who you are becoming. Because the hero in your life becomes a model. It's what you want to imitate. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any heroes. That tells me you've not clarified your values. You've not decided what's important in your life. Because once you decide what's important in your life, you seek out somebody that's already doing that you might follow them. Notice here, secondly, heroes determines what's important in your life. Heroes help shape our life. They help shape our character. They help us to become more of what we currently are, and they help us grow as a person. The problem is today we have too many celebrities and not enough heroes. In the age of the internet and social media, you can become a celebrity overnight for no reason at all. He said, what are you talking about? Well, let me just throw out one name, Kardashian. I mean, why are they celebrities? I mean, what have they done in life to elevate them to that place? You see, celebrities make a big splash, but heroes make a big difference. Celebrities are all about fame and fortune and image, and heroes are all about character and service. Celebrities will sacrifice for themselves that they might get ahead. Heroes will sacrifice for others. Celebrities want others to serve them, where heroes want to serve others. Well, I'm going to mention three qualities today of a hero. Of course, there are more than three, but I'm going to mention three. The first one is, real heroes stand alone for what is right. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 8, these are the names of the top three, the most heroic men in David's army. The first one was Josheb. If you flip over, we'll read the rest of the verses. Next in rank was Eleazar, the son of Dodo and grandson of Ahohai. He was one of the three men who, with David, held back the Philistines that time when the rest of the Israeli army fled. After him was Shammah, son of Agi from Harar. Once during a Philistine attack, when all his men deserted him and fled, he stood alone at the center of a field and beat back the Philistines. And God gave him a great victory. Notice these mighty men of David, the three greatest of his warriors. Notice that they stood alone. That is, they would go against the grain. They went against the flow. They stood alone in times of great need. Notice there, you will never find a hero doing what everybody else does. If you do what everybody else does, you're not being a hero. What makes a hero? A hero is they're doing things that other people are unwilling to do. Notice here that there's a battle. All of them desert. Shammah stays in the center of the battlefield. He stands alone and God gives him a great victory. And you see, that's my heart's desire. That's what I want to happen in my life. That's what I want to have happen in your life. That when everybody else runs, you'll stand and God will give a great victory in your life. But you can't have a great victory if you don't make the stand. Notice here, never blame your parents for your actions. Did you see Eleazar? I mean, Eleazar had an excuse for being a failure, didn't he? I mean, his daddy was Dodo. Huh? I've met a few Dodo daddies in my life. But notice there, it didn't keep Eleazar from becoming a mighty man of God. I hear a lot of people today just wimping out. Well, I didn't get this. I didn't get that. I had this kind of home life. Listen, you're an adult now. Make an adult decision. Stand and choose to be a hero for God. Stop blaming it on somebody else. notice as we look at these guys that we need to stand alone for what is good. Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." Listen, just because the crowd does it at work, you don't do it. If the crowd at work is telling dirty jokes, don't you do it. Stand alone. If the crowd at work is loafing and they're not pulling their load, you don't do it. You stand alone and be a good witness for Jesus Christ by doing a good job to bring glory and honor to Him. When you go to school and the crowd, they're gossiping and they're bullying, stand alone. Be a person of integrity. When the other people are cheating on their friends, stand alone. When others are out getting high and partying, stand alone. Stand for what is good. And you'll be a hero with God. And then secondly, stand alone for right living. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 5, verse 22 says this about heroes. "Destruction is certain for those who are heroes at drinking, who boast about all the alcohol they can hold." What do you think about our society today and the things that they glamorize? You know, our young people, they get out of high school, they go off to college, and they go to these parties. And what kind of party do they have? They have a party to see who can drink the most without passing out. I mean, what is that to brag about? You're just boiling your brain with poison. But listen, you know, I can drink that person under the table. See on your outline, stand alone against peer pressure. Romans 12:2, "Do not model your behavior on the contemporary world, but let the renewing of your minds transform you so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and mature." We all like to be liked. We all like to be liked by people that are like us. And so there's this great pressure to conform to peer pressure. And so sometimes what we do, instead of standing alone, we just keep quiet. You've probably heard the expression, "Silence is golden." Sometimes it's just yellow. It's just plumb cowardly. Sometimes we don't stand alone and make a stand for God simply because the people around us will not accept what we're saying. What am I talking about? You get in a conversation. Let me tell you the greatest value in American culture right now. Tolerance. Let me tell you what the tolerant people can't stand. They can't stand an intolerant person. And I find the comedy in that. But you can be in a conversation and somebody will say something like this: "I don't believe in moral absolutes. You know, what's right for you may not be right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you." And you hear that kind of stuff and you just sit there and you don't say anything. Well, what you're doing is you're not being heroic. You're not standing alone. This is the time when you stand back and say, "Hey, listen, everybody is entitled to their opinion, but everybody's not entitled to their own truth. 2 + 2 = 4. There are some absolutes in life. There is some things black and some things that are white. There's some things right and there's some things wrong." And sometimes we just need to stand alone for what's right. And then the last thing under this point I want to share with you is God is always looking for heroes He can use. In Psalm 40 and verse 4, "Blessed," that's what I want to be, don't you? "Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God, turn your back on the world's sure thing, and ignore what the world worships." God's looking for some heroes that He can use. Think about some of those in the Bible. Abraham stood alone against Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah stood alone for 120 years when he built the ark, and the people mocked and belittled and made fun of him. Daniel stood alone when the king said you could not pray to anyone but him, and he spent a night in the lion's den. Why? Because he stood alone for integrity. God is looking for some heroes that he can use. If you and I are going to be a hero, we have to be willing to stand alone for what is right. And then secondly, real heroes make sacrifices for others. In Matthew 20 and verse 26, it's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Notice, real heroes sacrifice for others. I see people today that are making sacrifices, but they're making sacrifices for themselves. That's not a hero. For example, an entrepreneur, a businessman, may make all kinds of sacrifices in order to accumulate wealth. Celebrities will make all kinds of sacrifices that they might gain fame and fortune. But a real hero makes sacrifices for the benefit of other people, not for themselves. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate hero. In Hebrews 7:27, Jesus brought the sacrifices for the sins of the people once and for all when he sacrificed himself. Who are your heroes? Who were your heroes when you were a kid? Think about that for a moment. And hear what this guy said. I found a lot of humor in what he said. He said, as a kid, my heroes were Babe Ruth, Thomas Jefferson, the Lone Ranger, Andy Griffin, and Superman. He said, those were my heroes as a kid. And he said, somebody came alongside of me and told me that Babe Ruth was an alcoholic. Thomas Jefferson was an adulterer. Andy Griffith was a smoker. That the Lone Ranger had to hide behind a mask and Superman ain't even real. He said, just bust my bubble. Jesus Christ gave his life for you and I. He is real, and he'll be a real hero in our life. I think the batteries just died on my microphone. All right, so Jesus is the ultimate hero. Number two, Abba, God the Father, is looking for everyday heroes. In Matthew 10:42 says, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of these, least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. You understand, you don't have to do something spectacular to be a hero. You don't have to walk on water. You don't have to slay giants. The Bible says if you just give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you can be a hero. You got to have the power, folks. Every once in a while, we have to recharge our batteries. Speaking about that, probably 18, 19 years ago, might be longer than that, Aaron. We were across the street in a little church there. If you turn me down just a little bit, Ronnie. Thank you. I get excited, I'll blow everybody's hearing aid out. We were across the street in a little church there, and when I'd come to Anthony Grove, once a month, the women would meet for on Wednesday night called Women on Missions. And I said, all right, what did the men do? And they said, well, the men don't do anything. And I said, well, that's not right. We're going to start something for the men. So we started a men's ministry. And I taught a class that once a month on Wednesday nights about the characteristics of a godly man. And we were sitting in there, and I remember this just as distinct as it was yesterday. I went around in that room, and I asked the men in there, I said, who are the heroes in your life? When you were a kid, who did you look up to? Who was your hero? And they went around, and, you know, I heard John Wayne and different people that came around, and I came to Aaron Black. And Aaron Black, with tears running down his face and a tremble in his voice, he said, Pastor, as a kid and to this day, my daddy is my hero. And I can't tell you how much that spoke to my heart. At that time, I had a little boy 4 years old and another boy 10 years old. And I sat there and I thought about what Aaron said. And I thought, you know what? 50 years from now, I hope my boys will be able to say that about me. And Aaron, I want you to know that inspired me. I wanted to be the kind of dad that you had. I wanted to be that kind of a dad. You understand? It doesn't have to be spectacular. You don't have to be Superman. You just have to be God's man. The Father is looking for everyday heroes. And then the third thing I want to share with you is God's greatest work is through unsung heroes. In Proverbs 31:8, speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. Protect the rights of all who are helpless. I want to camp out here for just a moment. Speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. Speak up for those that are helpless. Who would that be in our society? I'm going to step out on a limb right here. You know, that's where the fruit is, out on the end of the limb. But I believe that God's people ought to stand up and speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. And let me tell you who would be first on my list, and that would be the unborn. They don't have a voice. They can't speak up. And God expects you and me to speak up for the unborn. Do you understand that a couple of months ago, we spoke here in this place about what the governor of New York said. Then we said what the governor of Virginia said. Listen, it wasn't what they said, but listen. The governor of North Carolina didn't say it. The governor of North Carolina did it. And that is, they passed a bill in the House and in the Senate of North Carolina that says if a child is aborted and that child lives, that those people there, the physicians and the nurses, are required by law to give that baby everything it needs to live. The House passed it, the Senate passed it, and the governor of North Carolina vetoed it. Well, those unborn babies can't speak up. Will you speak up? Will I speak up? Unsung heroes. They speak for those who can't speak. And to me, there are three groups in society we ought to be speaking up for. The unborn, children, and the elderly. Somebody ought to stand up and speak up for those folks. And God says that those people who do are His heroes. I'll tell you a little family story. My children went the first years of their life to Christian school. My firstborn, Nathan, attended First Wesleyan Christian School from preschool through the fourth grade, and then attended up till high school at First Assembly Christian School. When he was in the kindergarten through the fourth grade, they had sports teams, soccer teams, baseball. Now, y'all find this funny, but I was the basketball coach. The shortest dad out there was the basketball coach. And so I coached his basketball team from the time he was kindergarten through the fourth grade. And one particular ball game, I remember, we were at the National Guard Armory. And I look out there, and my son is in a fight. Now, you know how embarrassing it is that you're at a Christian school, and you're the pastor, and you're the coach, and your son's out there fighting? You say, oh, preacher, wasn't you embarrassed? No, I wasn't. Let me tell you why. He was doing what this verse said. Now, I might have been the shortest coach out there. I might have been the shortest daddy, but my son was the tallest one on the ball team. Okay? And there was another guy from another team, and it was there, and he was picking on one of the little guys on Nathan's team. And he went over there and said, hey, you can't pick on him. So you know what the bully did? He jumped on my son. And so I was proud of him that he was speaking up and taking up for a person who was being bullied by somebody else. You see, those are the kind of people that are God's heroes, who speak up for those who can't speak, who protect the rights of the helpless. So real heroes stand alone. Real heroes sacrifice for others. And then there's one other characteristic, and that is real heroes stare down risk for God. Now, I'm not talking about taking risks for stupid reasons, but I'm saying step out of your comfort zone for God. In Luke 19:26, he said, that's Jesus, this is what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. I'm going to tell you something that I notice a lot of, that I see a lot of, that I really don't understand. I meet a lot of bored Christians. Now let that set in for a moment. The creator of the universe is your Father. You have been washed and cleansed and changed by the Savior of the world, and you walk around and say, well, I'm bored. How does that happen? Well, I'll tell you how that happens. You're not stepping out in faith. You're not making a risk for the things of God. What does that look like? Notice here, a faith life can lead to a waste. Life. If you always play it safe, if you never take a risk, you're never going to do anything great for God. While we're meeting here today, we have a 10-member team from our church over in the Ukraine. And they're over there teaching and preaching and leading children and teenagers and adults to Jesus Christ. Now, out of our team of 10 that are over there, 4 of those that are over there graduated from high school last week. They left on Thursday to go 10,000 miles on a mission trip. Now, I remember what I did when I graduated from high school. You know what I did? I went to Myrtle Beach. Me and 3 other guys, and we rented a room at the Lemon Tree Inn. Yeah. And we went down there for a week. Well, the first day we're there, there's a knock on the door, and there's 6 guys standing there, and they say, hey, we just came down here for a graduation week. We can't find a place to stay. Can we sleep on the floor in your room? All right, so what can I say that I did when I graduated? Well, we went down to the beach, acted like a bunch of fools, and had people sleeping in the floor. That is something to remember, right? And I want you to think about those people that just graduated last week, and they're over there 10,000 miles away. They're in a different country, in a different language, a different culture, and they're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are being saved. Imagine what that's going to be like 1,000 years from now, and they're in heaven versus what I did. You see, a safe life can lead to a wasted life. Notice here that godly heroes are motivated by eternity. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about some of the risks that he's made. He said, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I believe he died. Okay? 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. Now, who is this? This is the Apostle Paul, the most influential Christian who has ever lived. Outside of Jesus Christ, he has done more to affect our civilization than any person who's ever lived. But look here at all that he went through. Notice here, he was willing to take some risk. He was willing to take some risk for God. Now, taking a risk don't mean getting on a motorcycle and going 150 miles an hour down a country road. That's not taking a risk. That's stupid. Okay? But taking a risk for God. Now, what would make him do that? Well, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. And why do you think I keep risking my neck in these dangerous work? I look death in the face practically every day I live. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't convinced of the resurrection and mine? Your resurrection and mine is guaranteed by the resurrected Messiah, Jesus. Paul said, I'm doing what I'm doing because I believe in the resurrection. I'm doing what I believe in because I believe there's a better future. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm doing it for eternity. What motivated him to take a risk was what lies ahead in the future. God wants us to get out of our comfort zone. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. 2 people connected to our church recently was in the hospital, and they both have gone to rehab. One of these people that has gone to rehab made this statement. I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. I'm going to work really hard, and I'm going to get well enough. And when I get well enough, I'm going to get a prosthetic leg. When I get my prosthetic leg, I'm going back to work. You see, they're motivated. They say, whatever I have to do, you know, I'm going to do it. Now, here's another person. They've been in the hospital. They've gone to rehab. And they said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what they say. It hurts. If you only do what's comfortable in life, you will never be a hero for God. You see, sometimes you have to do stuff that's uncomfortable. God is asking you to step out of your comfort zone and trust Him. Risk some things for God. And if you do, here's what will happen. God rewards risk taking for Him. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 35, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. If you step out in faith, if you get out of your comfort zone, if you attempt to be a hero for God, if you stand alone for what's right, if you sacrifice for others, God says there will be an eternal reward. Who are your heroes? I want to share with you four guys that have been heroes in my life. Billy Graham, Bailey Smith, Adrian Rogers, Rick Warren. The first three are in heaven. But in the 40 years that I've been in the ministry, I've looked up to these guys and wanted to be like them. I wanted to follow the example that they have put. And in doing so, I want to share with you a story. I want to share with you a story about a man named Jimmy. Jimmy loved God. Jimmy loved his family. And he strove to be a godly man. In his lifetime, he went on 150-plus mission trips. Do the math. I mean, for 50 years, that's 3 a year. Goes on mission trips. He was a carpenter. And so he'd go on mission trips and he'd build churches. He built over 150 churches. Now, they weren't buildings this size, but you understand, you go overseas and build a one-room or two-room or three-room place for the church to meet in. He built churches. Jimmy was dying of cancer, and his son went to see him. And he said to him, he said, "Dad," he said, "how are you doing?" And he said, "Son, I believe I'm doing good enough." He said, "I believe I have inside of me one more church, one more mission trip." Here's a man dying of cancer. He's not talking about going to Hawaii. He's not talking about some getaway. He's talking about going on a mission trip. And his son looked at him and said, "Dad, you're dying of cancer. Where would you go?" He said, "Son, I want to go to Siberia." He said, "Siberia?" He said, "Yeah." Well, guess what Jimmy did? Jimmy got the strength, and Jimmy went to Siberia. 4 days before he died, he is up on top of a roof with snow on the ground with a hammer putting the roof on a new church. Jimmy Warren is in heaven now. The fellow I just told you is Rick Warren's dad. Rick Warren is considered by Time Magazine to be the most influential pastor in America. He has mentored tens of thousands of other pastors. And who was the hero in his life? The hero in his life was his dad. The hero in his life was a carpenter. The hero in his life spent the last week of his life sacrificing for others. God is looking for a few heroes. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who would come today and say, "God, I'm going to make a stand for you if nobody else does. God, I'm going to make a stand for you no matter what it costs." I wonder who would come today and say, "God, I'm going to sacrifice, not for me." But I wonder how many dads would come to this altar today and say, "God, help me to sacrifice for my family." I'm wondering who would come today and say, "God, help me get out of my comfort zone. God, help me take some risks for you. God, help me to be on the firing line and on the cutting edge." Everybody needs a hero. May you so live your life that you can be a hero to someone else. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to say thank you for Jesus, who modeled all of the things that we have just said. God, help us to live the kind of life that will honor you, bless our families. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.